Now we're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, Brandon Peoples here today talking to Captain Josh Kyle from the Riley County Police Department. Our monthly chat here with the police department, always a good opportunity for us to learn more about what's going on behind the scenes. And, you know, it's been great. This is kind of a busy weekend itself. We got some events coming up. There's obviously the Sea Clyde Run tomorrow, and there's other things being planned here in the works. And coming up next week, there's actually some big events coming up that the police department's involved with. And I'll let you kind of lead that into the first one here, October 4th, Captain Kyle.
Yeah, so to kind of set everything up, about a year ago, we recognized that we were increasingly preparing food at public events, and we were having a lot of success with it. We were able to connect with people in a way that was very different than the traditional booth-type setup. In the past, whenever there was a public event, we set up some kind of booth and maybe handed out stickers and that kind of thing. And that was great, but it didn't make the long-term connections and the conversations that we wanted to see. And we found that when we started serving food at some of these events, we were able to connect with the community in a very different way. Something about serving of food causes people to drop some of their barriers and come together in a very different manner. I'll give you an example from last year. We had a family that showed up and we were serving food, and basically they decided to use the shade of a police car to lay out a towel and have a little picnic or blanket and have a little picnic right next to the police car. And our ability to engage the community with food is much different than what we've experienced in the past. And so because of that, we decided that it's time, if we're going to do this on a regular basis, it's time for us to become essentially more professional. The worst thing that could happen is we serve people food and then somebody gets sick as a result. So our first step was to approach the law board. We had some end of the year funds, about $10,000. We also had some seizure funds, about $10,000. And then we made an appeal to the community, and through the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation, and another $10,000 was raised. So with that $30,000, we purchased a food trailer. And just about the time that was going to be delivered, COVID hit. And so everything, you know, obviously the brakes got put on everything. And now that we're in a place where we have a much better idea of what we're dealing with and how to hold events with COVID-19 restrictions, we made the decision to go ahead and move forward. And in fact, the trailer is being inspected this morning by USDA. And so we have done a lot of work to prepare this trailer and to get ready for these upcoming events. So what about these events? Well, the first one is October the 4th. It's the annual Duck Dash for Boys and Girls Club. It's a fundraiser for them. We have a very close association with the Boys and Girls Club. There's two significant reasons as to why. First off, they have a lot of evidence that shows that kids who go to Boys and Girls Club are more likely to graduate from high school than those that don't. We're talking about high-risk children in high-risk situations. Also, Boys and Girls Club takes care of kids and helps them get through school, have fun, and stay out of trouble right after school when kids are most vulnerable to being both the victims and perpetrators of crime. So we feel like this is a great preventative strategy rather than waiting for there to be problems for kids. This is a great way to prevent kids from getting in trouble in the first place. And so we have a very strong association with Boys and Girls Club, and we fully support this event that they have coming up on October the 4th. It's going to be over at Rock Hills Church. They're going to do the Duck Dash event. It's going to be different this year because of COVID, but they're going to do some sort of ceremony involving the Duck Dash. And then they're going to project a movie on the side of the building, and people are going to be able to watch the movie from their cars. Our trailer is going to be there. We're going to serve sack lunches. We're going to have hamburgers and hot dogs and some other side dishes, and so we'll be serving those out of paper bags, and we'll have it won't be contactless, but it'll be really close to that. We're not gonna because we have these plans in place, we were able to apply for a permit with the county, and that was granted. So we're feeling like we're going to do the best we can to get that outreach going starting now, while at the same time being responsible in view of COVID-19. That's cool. Then on October the 6th, I'm sorry, do you have any questions on that?
No, I just said that sounds like a great opportunity here for our community.
Yeah, absolutely. And then moving forward to October the 6th is National Night Out. National Night Out is a way for us to, again, reach out to community. We bring out a lot of our vehicles and our officers, and it's a great chance to look at some of the equipment that we have, talk to an officer face-to-face. The fire department and EMS participated in this as well. Last year was the first time that we participated in this county in National Night Out. It was really successful. It's usually in August, but again, COVID-19 pushed it back. And again, we made plans to have National Night Out, but in a safe way. And so the way we're going to do it is we're going to have some of our vehicles out there and some of our officers, but instead of being able to get into the vehicles and talk face-to-face with the officers for an extended period of time, it's going to be more of a walk-by or kind of a drive-by sort of scenario. And again, we'll be serving food, sack lunch style, hamburgers and hot dogs again. And we just need to move forward. We need to move forward with these events and continue to engage with the community. You can only get by for so long with restrictions and just postponing these to a certain point. We just feel now is a good time. We have a much better idea of what we're dealing with when it comes to the virus, and we feel like we can have a safe and effective event. In combination with National Night Out, I should point out that we also have a close association with Big Brothers Big Sisters, and there's going to have some volunteers out there to help us out with some of the things that we need to get done for this event. And also, Special Olympics is going to be involved as well. There's going to be some activities surrounding Special Olympics. Again, there's been a lot of postponements of these kinds of events, and we figured out a way to pull off the Special Olympics torch run in such a way that should be safe for everybody.
And remind me again, where's National Night Out taking place at?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Great question. And it was a question that we worked through quite a bit, too. We ultimately, the county was kind enough to put us in the Cinco Park area. We're going to be in the fairgrounds, you know, the sheds that they have out there. It's like a covered garage, but the sides are open.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's where we're going to be. So people will be able to drive up to Cinco and see our equipment that's out there. Pretty much wave at the officers, maybe get some long distance conversations, and then get some food.
That's awesome. You know, I've been to these events in the past, and they're great. Obviously, trying to shake it up a little bit to accommodate everybody here for COVID is very important. But it's neat that you can still have that and the torch run. I think that's a nice touch as well.
Yeah, we sat down and we asked the question, should we move forward with these events? And the answer was, we are going to do this. It's a matter of how. There's got to be a way to pull off these events in such a way that's socially responsible in view of this pandemic, and yet still maintain some kind of engagement with the community. And I think we've been able to pull that off.
Well, and you know, I know how important this community policing concept is to the Riley County Police Department, and it can do so much. People don't realize, I guess, at the same time, you know, they're being served these meals and this community engagement. They don't realize, you know, the kind of the end goal here.
Yeah, and I've had a number of conversations recently over Zoom, of all things, but I've had a number of conversations with people in the community, and I can't begin to express the number of folks who've made it abundantly clear that they value contact with officers outside of our typical enforcement or call-oriented settings. It provides us with a wonderful opportunity to connect with people, answer questions, go face-to-face. I mean, there's just nothing like meeting somebody and making a connection with them versus only seeing our officers in patrol cars.
Okay, Captain Guy, we have a phone call here. Someone has a comment or a question, so we'll get to them. Good morning. You're on In Focus. Robert, is that you? Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for sharing your new expanded devices I hope that you have also sat down and thought about a plan B, whether it's the militarized vehicle or your to get into areas that you need to get into, or your big event crime investigation vehicle, that in case we have another tornado like what came down Amherst across Little Kitten and through when the Salvation Army was able to show up, all the workers, that you could also, with Plan B, supply lunches for the city workers and those rescue or clear the area people that are in there also. Thank you for your considerations.
Right. Yeah, I hadn't considered it. That's a great idea. I never went down that direction. We're so focused on getting this thing up and running and participating in community events. I hadn't even thought about it, about being an emergency relief vehicle. That's a very, very interesting thought. I can tell you that we don't do this alone. It looks simple or it sounds simple, but these events require a tremendous amount of planning and coordination. And, you know, for one thing, it's where are you going to get the food? How are you going to store it? How do you store it safely? How do you prepare it? All these things require a tremendous amount of effort, and we wouldn't be able to do that without our community partners. I know Hy-Vee specifically has always been very good to us in helping support these kinds of events. And, you know, hats off to them and a big thanks.
Absolutely. That was a good idea. And, of course, you have the armored vehicle. Will that be out there at any of these events?
Oh, yeah. For National Night Out, it will be. For the Duck Dash, it's just going to be the food trailer and the pickup truck that hauls it. But for National Night Out, yeah, absolutely. We're going to have a number of our specialty vehicles out there. And I should point out, the last I heard, the fire department and EMS will also be out there as well.
Okay, that's cool. In the future with this food trailer, are you planning to shake up the menu once in a while here, maybe do some other things?
That's a great question. Yeah. So initially, our group was called the barbecue team, and then they said, well, it's not really barbecue; it's we're a smoke team. And so we went back and forth, and we finally just decided, you know, everybody calls it the barbecue team. Let's call it the barbecue team. And so we have smokers on that trailer along with griddles, and so we can serve hamburgers, hot dogs, but we also can smoke meats. With those two smokers in there. And, you know, that takes a lot of time. The smoking of the food takes a lot of time and a lot of personnel to pull that off. So that's something that we reserve for particular occasions. You know, I don't want to make it sound like we're going to be pulling this trailer out every weekend. This is something that we do very consciously. In fact, we meet once a year and decide what events we're going to participate in. And I also want to point out that this is really seen as not only a community outreach tool, this is a recruiting tool as well. Job fairs are not what they used to be, especially with the internet, especially with COVID-19. And so we're finding ourselves not having a lot of success necessarily with the typical job fair where you put up a booth and you just, you know, stand and wait for people to come up and talk to you. We hope to break down some potential barriers and make some connections that we otherwise might not make with a food trailer. So this is a recruiting tool as well as something that we intend to use for community outreach.
All right, very good. I'll tell you what, let's take a break and come back, and we'll continue our conversation with Captain Josh Kyle from the Riley County Police Department after this on K-Man.